She was self-medicating with alcohol, and we never got the help that we should have. I mean, the kids can't, but the adults around us didn't. Humor was my escape.
I've always felt immense
fear. I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice
and make an impact in this world.
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody. I am your host. And listen, we have a really, really cool series over the next several weeks. We are interviewing some of the unconventional leaders from our Facebook group who are killing it right now. And I am so excited to share these with you because they're very raw and real and tangible. These guys are in the trenches of building their thing and spreading their messages and making a unique impact in this world. And the best part of it is they're all so supportive to one another. I just really believe these are some of the best people in the world. And I'm so excited to introduce them to you. First up, we have Lisa David Olson, who has a powerful story of overcoming childhood abuse and how she has used comedy to, what she says, save her life. We're going to talk about this book she has written and how she is opening up and sharing her story, the importance of that. Also, too, how to use humor and improv just in your day-to-day life to connect with other people. This is such a great episode, but before we get started, if you have not done so yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you've listened to 2, 3, 4 episodes and have gotten any value out of this, please consider, if you have an iPhone, going over to the podcast app and leaving us an honest review. So honored to connect with Lisa David Olson. She is an author, speaker, and comic, and wrote this really cool little book called Laughs on Ryan. I have yet, Lisa, to read a book just like it. It is so unique and has so many cool little nuggets in it, and you're just an awesome person. So I'm really so excited to connect with you on the show.
That is so nice of you. I'm just thrilled to be part of your group and also to have this opportunity to speak on your podcast because I'm a huge fan.
Thank you. Thank you. So tell me a little bit, what got you into comedy? You've made some really, I'm just going to start us off. We have 30 minutes, so I'm just going to go ahead and go deep real quick.
Let's jump in. Why not?
Why not just go in there? But you make a really powerful statement a few weeks ago to our group that comedy has really saved your life and that's why it's so dear to you. Can you just share with us a little bit about what got you into comedy and why it's so important?
I got into comedy as a child, and I know everyone can picture that funny kid. If it's not you, you know your niece or nephew or probably your own offspring, because nothing's funnier than something that fell out of you. But when you think about a funny kid, they want attention. Mm. Sometimes a whiny kid wants attention. Well, I grew up in an alcoholic home. My mother was a raging alcoholic, a very physically violent alcoholic. And nights were not calm. You never knew when you might be woken up, pulled out of bed, told to go through the garbage or clean out the silverware drawer or something really odd that I would never do to my kids. You would never do to your kids. But it's what was going on in her mind. I'm certain now that she was self-medicating with alcohol, and we never got the help that we should have. I mean, the kids can't, but right, the adults around us didn't. Humor was my escape. Mm. If mom was laughing, she wasn't yelling, and she wasn't hitting us. The next question that generally comes up is, you didn't have a dad? And I do. And he was there. And it's the oddest thing. Since my book came out, dad doesn't really talk to me. So there's that. You know, it was a persona of, I'm daddy's girl. That's what I have in the book. And the other stories that I share also tell of how dad was present in the home. He could hear this going on and wasn't there. He was in the house, but he didn't come up from his den, man cave nowadays. And somehow that's just, that was the norm for me. But as an adult looking back and having children and a really wonderful father to my children and knowing that he would never do that. And it's just odd what you accept as a kid
yeah.
and what you realize later could have been better. So the longest answer ever yeah. to your question is humor helped me, not all the time, but I knew that if I was making mom laugh or maybe we siblings were going through something, let's throw a little show. Let's have a dance party and be silly. That's how it began.
That's how it began.
Yeah. Younger.
And this book's so interesting, guys. I'm going to link it up in the show notes because it's like little lessons chronicled throughout the book. And it's no particular order. Sometimes she goes through when she was a child and then it'll jump to, you know, present day and then back to, you know, being, you know, a little bit older. And it's very real and you're very honest about the abuse that you and your siblings endured. But you also make me laugh at the same time. And that sounds really weird. It's a really interesting thing. Like one minute I want to cry and then the next minute I'm laughing. I'm like, what are you doing to me, Lisa? So it's definitely a gift that you have to be able to use humor to connect with others. And I was just wondering when you were talking, you know, humor has been a way for you to keep your mom's hands off you at times and help that relationship. And then also now humor's a way for you to be able to connect with your audience and do some just incredible work. What about you as the woman, like Lisa, has humor been pivotal in your own emotions and in your own life? Like how have you processed through growing up the way that you did and now being a mom yourself and a leader?
One of my sons, so the two sons that I have five together. So three step, two nonstop. Oh, my, I almost said regular, regular kids and three step. My boys would all laugh at that. One of my sons said, they're 21 and 23. And he said, we were your crash test dummies. And I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, you would tell a joke as if it was a story, like it was your friend that it happened to. And I go, well, yeah, that's how you pull people in. He goes, but we believed you. And sometimes we would share it as a story, like at school or with our friends, like this really happened that somebody came home with a donkey or whatever the story was.
That's so funny.
So we were your crash test dummies. And I said, am I supposed to apologize? He said, no, I wouldn't have it any other way. So it's affected my way of raising kids. I certainly broke the cycle. There's no mm-hmm. way that I would harm my kids that way. There's certain yeah. times you have to surprise them, like don't yeah. cross the street, listen, but you don't have to take out your internal mental issues or your rage with your own chemical imbalance on these people who are depending on you.
Yeah.
We never got to have friends over because you just didn't know which mom was at home as far as personality wise.
Yeah. But how did you personally work through that? I mean, when you, whatever age you left home and then embarking on your own life, how did you work through that?
Yeah, I did leave at 17 and I quit school in 10th grade because I was sick so often. And when I look back, it obviously you can always look back and there's some clarity there. I would look back, going to the doctor was actually kind of my moment to think, somebody's going to help me this time it's going to help. Or, you know, they're going to realize that there's so much more for me out there that they need to help and get me out of here. So my oldest sister was pregnant at 19, went off to get married. My older brother was old enough to leave. He split. He used to hide on our property. And the youngest one was basically kept off to the side and kind of saved from the issues that would happen. That left me as, you know, just time to go. So I did leave. I quit school after missing school so much, being sick. And I really was sick, but we all know being run down and the things that can happen can make you a more sickly kid. I'm certainly a more healthy adult. So missing so much school, falling so far behind, having no support, boom, I'm done. I was out at 10th grade. And I don't recall any teachers looking for me or reaching out or I don't know. I think it's kind of an odd thing, but if they did, they didn't get to me. And I'm not blaming because life is choices, not excuses. Yeah. I made a choice to leave.
Yeah.
At 17, you think you're old enough. So I did. I left and I shared an apartment with my older brother and got a job, didn't have a car, didn't have a license.
Yeah.
I've worked two jobs ever since I was 15. Yeah. That's all I know. Just keep going. You keep going.
Yeah. We definitely have that in common, the education piece. I mean, you know, that story for me, that was a real and it still is sometimes, like an insecurity that I don't know why. It just sticks with you. But how did you process through that whole education piece, like going into adulthood and everything? Did that ever flare up for you? Or were you just like, cool, I got out at 10th grade? You know what I mean? Like, what was it like for you?
It was not cool. I was not prepared. I've never, ever, and my husband catches me all the time saying that I'm not smart.
Yep.
Damn it, I am smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to fix your math problem for you today, but I've always worked, and I have not had 1,000 jobs, but I've had a great variety of jobs. I'm not a quitter.
Yeah.
It has affected me in the sense, until only recently, and I'm 53 now, that I could say I dropped out in 10th grade, but I did go on to get my GED.
Yeah.
Of course I went on to get my driver's license. What it meant was, and I'd like to hear your version too, Heather, is we had to work extra hard. So I didn't have support of my family going, no, you're not dropping out. We're going to get you a tutor. We're going to do this. Because you can believe that's the kind of mother I am. My boys, I knew their homework. We went through backpacks and all this stuff, you know. That made me an extra tough parent that way. Not helicopter exactly, but kind of a nice little, a friendly drone. Right. Like, what's one of
drone?
Because that's what happened. What about for you? I mean,
I was just sharing with somebody on an interview before about, that's why I've been really drawn to this crowd that I'm calling unconventional, is I feel as though if you can do it in a healthy way, some of the hardest points in your life can end up being your greatest drivers. And if you can do it in a healthy way, which is the fun part, right? Mm-hmm. It can be your biggest catalyst. I mean, for change, and it can just shift your life and give you that extra drive that most people don't have, you know? So it's a great teacher, but it's really, it's been difficult for me. And I don't know if you could ever fully be healed and like fine and all that stuff, because we all have our crap. But I mean, I deal with the same thing you do, but just kind of beating yourself up and all of that. And that's why I'm so grateful to have you on, Lisa, because, you know, you're very real about what you endured as a kid and just the reality of that. And yet you've still gone on to write a book and make other people laugh and get in front of people and just lead the change that you want to see and making this world just a brighter place. You do, you know, these fun things called serious selfies with strangers, which I'll link that up too. It's just, you're adding so much joy into this world. And I know a lot of our listeners, might feel kind of like, if you felt they've come from unconventional backgrounds, they've struggled in different ways, and it's just thinks, who am I to step out and do this? You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've endured and so forth. What would you say to that individual?
I think it's so important to share our stories, and it is scary. And my regret, being 53 and only recently sharing outwardly, is what if I could have helped somebody before? Now I don't know if I'm put here to help anyone, but don't we all feel that if we heard, oh, your story really helped change me. If we share our stories and we're brave, we might help someone else sooner than it takes them to find their bravery. And if we accept people and support each other, what would each day look like? If instead of judging pictures on Facebook, we just said, you go and you wear crazy plaid with camouflage today because you stand out. And why not? Why not support each other and just be kind to each other? Because it feels so good when we feel that.
Yes.
When we get support back, what other feeling is like that?
Yeah, 100%.
There's no calories. There's no guilt. There's no cost. We can just support each other and just make the world brighter that way and help somebody just come through their rough time. And we've all heard this. You know, somebody might be crabby at the... You might have a crabby barista and you're like, well, she's having a bad day. Maybe she is.
Yeah, for real.
She was called in and she's losing money by working because she's got to get somebody for her kids or her mother. I mean, how many of us are taking care of our kids and our parents now?
Right. That's real.
Just be a little kind. What about a smile? What about, don't let them affect you. Just be glad that you're not in their situation.
Yeah. Now, part of sharing your story, we can kind of overcome that hesitancy just from our own shame or embarrassment or whatever it may be, that reluctancy to share. But then there's another piece to it that I hear often and have dealt with myself, is this idea of, well, my story isn't just about me. I'm also sharing a whole bunch of stuff about other people and they may not like this and this may be difficult. And so
if I had a dollar for every time someone has talked to me about that, because they want to share their story, but it involves other people. You've dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a little bit?
I never expected. So I didn't hand out any of my books until, okay, so here I am a 10th grader. I've gone on to school, but I don't have a degree. And I've got this book. And when that box came and I opened it up and I've got this print version, oh man, that feels so good. It's like real, real, real now. I would not give out a book, not even to my amazing supportive husband, Todd. Dad had to have the first book. So I went over to my dad's, I gave him the book and he kind of glanced through it. He's proud of me. And that's what I was expecting and hoping and wanted to hear. And I don't know why it meant so much. And then he asked me, why do you have to share this? And I said, what do you mean? Why do you have to share your life, your life in these stories? And I said, because that's who I am. And he said, but, and he physically went, that's in the past. If you can picture an 82-year-old man going, that's in the past. That is the mentality of the older generation. I said, because the past is who I am right now. The past is where I came from and what made me. You know, I joke about having three husbands, but each one taught me something. Each friend that I've had along the way and maybe outgrown as we do has taught me something. We're here because of others, how they affect us and how we end up saying, don't need that anymore.
Yeah.
So when Dad kind of shunned me, I guess, you know, we're not Amish, but I was shunned.
Yeah.
And so now it's been almost a year since my book came out and it's a very, very thin relationship. And we live in the same city of 5,000 people.
Wow.
And so I've reached out in email. It's really superficial emails, you know, and I've reached out and I'm the one that takes care of their snow removal. I take care of their yard stuff. And so there's times I'm not exactly, hey, this works, because you won't see that mood on Facebook ever, but we all have those days. And I just don't get it. And I know that it'll be too late. And if he goes before me, then that chance is gone to actually talk about it. And he won't talk about it because it's in the past. I can't believe that having this book come out, that I thought I was daddy's girl and I was going to get just, you know, all this pride. I wasn't in that moment thinking about how I did share that he wasn't present in the same room when mom was actually beating us and we were screaming, crying. Police had come before when neighbors would call. And he was hiding away and just staying out of the way. There's no way you'd let that happen, Heather, if you heard your husband. You just wouldn't. Nobody would. I don't know today. And now I work in a police department where children are really watched out for by teachers. I see this day in and day out where teachers report anything that seems suspicious or other adults report it. And while sometimes it's a little bit too much, it's also, wow, we didn't have that growing up. That wasn't there. You didn't talk about it because that's that house. Oh, you don't do that. So I can see both sides where people think.
Yeah.
I know what I could have used.
Did you talk to your dad before you wrote the book?
I did. I talked about it. He certainly saw a lot of the media that was going on. And it's just, I've always wondered, going kind of backwards to the educational piece.
Yeah.
What would I have done differently if I had been supported at home, that mom would have gotten the mental help she needed, and that dad would have stayed in the picture better, had to have raised us on his own. What would I look like? What would that be? And we all wonder that. I'm not a victim. I'm just somebody who lived through it and would never repeat the cycle. But don't you ever wonder, like, oh, who could I have been? And you talk about your background. What is, you said you didn't go all the way through school?
No, yeah, I didn't. I ended up returning back to school. And what's really interesting and what I want everyone to know listening, if you have struggled with education and that, because it's really interesting as I've started talking more about it, I've had a lot of people privately share with me like, hey, that happened to me too. And there's so much shame wrapped around it. Yes. I worked really hard to go back to college and get degrees and stuff like that, because I thought that would make me smart. But honestly, like leaving, I felt no different than if I hadn't, because I thought it was an issue of I didn't have a piece of paper and I didn't have these credentials. It's in my heart. There's something that's going on in me and my worth and who I am. And I just want everybody to know that I busted my butt for years to prove something to myself. And not that I fully regret it. There were good points, but also too, I still had to do a lot of inner work because that wasn't the issue. The issue was a deep down worth issue and of like worthiness.
I so agree with that feeling of thinking I had to have letters after my name to be able to publish a book. I self-published. And if you have a book inside of you, you all have a story inside of you. Why not put it to paper? And why not have an editor kind of ride your butt and help you get it grammatically correct so that you can just write? I think a lot of people are hung up on that, worrying about how to write. Well, I'm not a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
And, but you have a story in you. And so what if you write it and you pay somebody to help put it properly? I had somebody coach with my editing, and also that helped with deadlines, which was really, really nice for me to have that accountability at the end of the week.
Yeah.
But you're right about, I don't have credentials. I can't do that. And then look how long, you know, I waited longer than you, but you wait. I think you ended up with a degree, right? In social work?
Psychology.
That's awesome. It certainly aligns with what you're doing. At least it wasn't way out there like, you know, marine biology, and now you're helping people this way. Nothing wrong with marine biologists. Hey,
what up?
Yeah, hey. But it's important. And I'm sure just the school situation was
a
great experience as well that you don't regret. But look how many people have degrees and then go over here and you're going, well, that was 4 years of money I'm still paying for.
More and more and more and more. But let's talk about that a little bit. Cause I mean, you are a comedic at heart. Like this is what you do. You do improv, right? In your town. Yeah. That's so cool. That's so cool. So what is it like building up that presence? Like what is your goal with it?
I use my improv as an escape, and it's also my release because I am just oozing creativity. And when I can get together with my troupe, and I've been with the troupe almost 2 decades now, and we have mostly the same players. And we were just asked, just last night at an event, a lady said, well, do you have auditions coming up? And she had a couple glasses of champagne, and we're like, well, we don't really do that, but I actually do coach people that if they want to write something funnier or they want to get ready for speaking, I'm right there to help with creativity and just get them a little more comfortable using improv tips to go forward and get out of your own head and be able to present. So I explained that to her, but it's just so funny because people see what we do and they think, I want to do that. And that's a huge compliment. That's
like
the highest praise to say, wow, when you were up there, I thought that looked like so much fun. I'd love to be able to do that. But they could, but they just don't because, you know. But anyways, my troupe has been together for so long that we just have this amazing trust. And if I walk out on stage and they throw something at me that I may not understand or a reference I don't get, somebody else will pick it up and we can volley it and change it.
And I think that's something that, I mean, we could really dive into for a few minutes, if you don't mind, of just some tips you have on improv. And I know this is a little bit left field from what we were talking about, but this is your craft. And I think when you were sharing the other day about what you do with this coaching, I was thinking about how applicable it is really to anyone, especially people who are building a brand and they're doing a lot of speaking and talking, and you get asked questions and you don't know how to respond to it. And humor is such a great way to connect with people and kind of break down a little bit of boundaries and stuff. So even if, you know, our listeners aren't specifically going into comedy, you can still use improv tips, I think, that are, again, applicable across the board. So what are just a few basic tips? Like I don't know anything, so anything you share is going to be awesome. So you can start from like the most elementary.
Well, the way I grew up was fight, flight, or funny.
I like that.
And funny carried me into my adult life in being frightened to try out for a comedy troupe that now I own and run. So
that's so cool.
And that is sexy. Doing taxes, oh, it's just what I was hoping to do. Not really. But what you can do with humor and improv, I can walk into any office and we can meet and it's not going to be laugh out loud funny.
Mm.
And it is going to be some practical tips on how to inject humor. Your humor shouldn't be like you referenced Michael Scott. Love that. You know, he was his own greatest boss. He bought his own mug that said world's greatest boss. It's that kind of humor. Wow. That humor isn't going to work for Paul, the head of HR, who has to be respected and serious generally, right?
Right.
So, but you want to allow humor in a group. So humor raises endorphins and it is affordable healthcare, in my opinion. And when we hear humor coming from down the hall. What do you immediately want to do?
Go in there.
What was so funny? I want in on that. But the main thing you have to do is ride the tide of humor, be able to get back to work. And that is like the best way that you could have an office, is if you allow moments of that to connect, because humor is a connector and it does bond. When you share a joke and now you're in on the joke and now everybody's going to make fun of Steve, who jammed the copier again, and he's probably going to get a nickname out of it. And it, you know, that kind of thing. Let's not bully Steve. I mean, that's right.
This is not the show.
Steve means well, but when you utilize creative thinking, here's something you could do. Anyone can do at their office. If you have a break room, and a lot of places do, one of the games I like to play is you put up a piece of paper and a bunch of colored pens or pencils, and you ask people to add one sentence, and you want to create a story, and people want to go and see where it's going. They want to see who said what. So a red marker that I put in there, it was a dark and sort of a stormy night, but it was really morning. That's one sentence. And then Heather comes in and she grabs a green marker when she's on break. And then she says, no one knows how the chicken got into the kitchen, you know, or something.
Right.
And you build the story. You can also do that for somebody's birthday, and everybody passed that card around the office, and now you've made this crazy story for this person.
I love that.
It's affordable.
Yeah.
It's affordable. That's my favorite thing, is affordable fun.
Affordable fun.
Yeah. Maybe Tuesday is crazy socks day. And I did that at the hospital I used to work at. I presented to their security team, and at that time it was all males. And it's so funny because I had crazy socks on, and you've got your Daryl socks. No, you have Walking Dead socks on.
I got my Sean on right now.
Okay.
Okay.
You ever do one Sean, one Daryl?
Oh, no, that's too much.
They would not. Okay.
No, they don't get along that well.
But you could just name it, next Tuesday's crazy sock day. Don't miss out, and just see who participates. And you'll see people walk down the hall and lift their pant leg and show you their crazy socks.
Yeah.
That's affordable. Nobody's being pulled from their work. You've elevated the mood a little bit. People start looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's spontaneous fun. It's creative. And those are tips. But when it comes to, you know, maybe you're trying to plan a speech and you have to talk to a group and you know it's your turn and you can't get out of it, a great way to do that is obviously write it out and practice it, but find a good friend that could read through it with you. Always read your written work out loud, because you will find that it's different.
Totally.
Whether it's written or spoken. So if you're that scared, go record it alone and only listen to it. As scary as it is to hear your own voice, I understand. Our voices are different inside of our heads. So that's why everybody freaks out. I don't like my recorded voice. And I just made a really weird voice.
Yeah.
But it's all about being ready, be prepared, and listen to yourself. But listening to your partner on stage is an improv thing. I listened to you and you told me that dog is blue and he only has three legs. And I don't say, no, that dog isn't blue and he has four legs. I don't do that, because I just roadblocked. I just stopped anything from progressing. And that's where you've heard of yes and in improv. It's listening and building on it. You can do that at work as well. You don't go to your boss and say, you know, every time the copier jams, I'm losing 20 minutes of work. Okay. That sucks as a boss to just be dumped on. How about you go in with a solution? You know, that copier has been jamming, and I'm wondering if we get a hold of the manufacturer and see if that's a common thing that they could fix. Something like that. Go in with a solution. Don't just dump a problem. And you will see that you'll really connect more on trust and building that relationship in the office.
That is a leadership tip right there. That's powerful. I know we're getting close to time, but I wanted to mention to you one person I've been really interested in lately is Ellen DeGeneres. Like, I've just been, just consuming a lot of stuff from her about her life and everything. And what I really think is interesting about her is, you know, she uses humor, but she also does just really meaningful work. And so there's depth to it. So it's not all just funny, ha, ha, ha. There's also some depth, and it's like this healthy balance. And so I'm really interested in making an impact, making a difference in this world. And I think what's really cool about what you're doing too is, you know, you're sharing your story, you're adding the humor in, but you're also delivering a very powerful message. It's pretty, pretty heavy. You've done it well to be able to deliver both of those. So I was just kind of wondering just your perspective of giving messages to the world that are a little bit more heavy, and doing it in a way that doesn't depress a whole bunch of people, but also brings hope, you know, because we want to share deeper messages, but we also too want to bring hope to the situation. And I think you've done that well. So can you speak to that at all?
I appreciate that. One of the things I do with my book, any book sales, a portion goes to the Family and Children's Center in the area where I live, because my message on that is be who you needed when you were younger.
Yeah.
And I think sharing gratitude and supporting each other is something we can all afford to do. You know, I talk about affordable fun, but what about supporting each other and spreading joy? And if you can share more humor than just vague book, you know, if you can share more humor than down moments, that's going to uplift everyone. And it's not your job to make sure everybody's cheery, but you should be accountable for, are you bringing other people down?
Right. So
people tell you that your message is uplifting. I know that you get a lot of feedback yourself, Heather, but what else? Everybody in that group, that unconventional leaders that we're in, everyone in that group has their moment that they have their path that they want to share. And each one of them, you can just see them physically, and myself included, physically going, but I want to do this and I want to do that. Man, they got to get out there and do that before it's, you know, before the time passes, or before somebody else has that idea and you say, oh, I've been sitting on that idea for 3 years or something.
Yeah.
You encouraged me with that. So I think if we all share gratitude, I'm not one that uses hope too much because it's not measurable, but gratitude is measurable. I get compliments that my Facebook page is so positive. And the silly thing I do is the serious selfies with strangers, approaching someone you don't know and asking for a photo. That's a dare to myself. That isn't just something I'm comfortable with. I make myself do that. And then the second layer of saying, oh, and by the way, you can't smile, because wouldn't that be silly? I've made so many friendships out of that. Just ran into two different people last night. So it's a stupid thing that spreads joy. It doesn't cost anyone any money. And that's the kind of message, if I could spread it, it would be, are you sharing affordable fun today and making others smile?
Well, I want to acknowledge you for just being such a light in this world. I know that it's just been some really hard times in your life, and for you to be able to have the strength that you have to not only rise above that personally, but also take all of that to help other people and bring life and light to their lives. I mean, it just speaks volume to who you are. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people connect with you, grab this book, and also too, if they're interested in this creative coaching and improv coaching, how can they get a hold of you?
Regarding that message you just said, I just want to toss in there, it's not where you've been, it's where you're going.
Yeah.
We all have stuff we're not proud of. So how about you go forward then and feel better about it? Regarding my book, I'm on Amazon, and there's a Kindle version and there's a print version, or get a hold of me, I'll send you a signed version. And it's 1 year anniversary coming up in April. April is Humor Month, by the way. And it's also Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month.
Wow.
So that's why I published in April last year. And announcing right here, my audiobook is coming out in just a few days.
That's awesome. That's exciting. You can
hear my voice all the time. And so, yeah, reach out to me and find me on Facebook, Lisa David Olson. I stole my husband's middle name because my name is too common. So find me on Facebook and Instagram and message me. That would be fun. And regarding coaching, message me. We'll set something up. We can Zoom or just phone call, whatever you want.
Cool. All of that will be linked in the show notes. Very last question. You probably already know what this one's going to be if you listen to the show, but I would just love to hear what you would go back and tell your younger self before everything happened. Let's say this girl who ditched school and says, I'm just going to go out on my own and start this wild adventure of adulthood. If you could sit with her for a minute and just share a few things with her, what would you say?
Little Lisa, you are smart and you will make a difference. And what you have to say does matter. And you don't need initials after your name for people to take you seriously. And you will stand out and be a very unique little butterfly.
I love that. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in Unconventional Leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.